is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Davos, the World Economic Forum, addressed by the new president of Argentina, Javier Milei. Javier Milei campaigned for the highest office in his land with a chainsaw. He can appear out of control, and yet I welcome Veronique Durigie of the Mercatus Center, writing at Creator Syndicate most recently of the speech made by Javier Milei, this unusual person who is an educated economist. He comes from very good understanding of the world's economy and Argentina's economy, which he declares collectivist. Veronique, a very good evening to you. Javier Milei sees collectivism and collectivists as an adversary. His job ahead is to deal with an economy that's $44 billion in debt to the IMF. That's the first of its problems. It also has a public sector, along with the black market, that's about 50% of the jobs in the country. In other words, it's beyond basket case. It's broken. So what does he mean by collectivism, and what is he going to do about it? Good evening to you.
Good evening. And then you forgot that the 200% inflation rate.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really, I mean, when we say it's a basket case, it's a basket cake. And the great sadness is that Argentina wasn't always like this. It used to be a leader, until collectivist really theories and that believe that the government should take over pretty much every aspect of our economic life, and the government should be in the business of redistributing money to special interest and give the power to unions, basically became the norm of this nation for over 100 years. And so it's a tragedy. But the thing that was really striking about Milei's speech is that he was coming to warn us. All of us Western, the Western world, they said, we're a basket case, but you guys are well on your way to the road to serfdom, because in a sense, you are living by a lot of these, at a lesser degree, but a lot of these collectivist policy. And take my word for it, it's not a good idea. And so what is he doing? He's used the power of the presidency that he's like declared an emergency order, I think, that allows him for a short period of time to do a lot of things. And one of the things he's done is like he knows that Argentina is suffocating because of the lack of supply and the lack of economic growth, in large part because of protectionist policy. So he's removed all the tariffs. He's privatizing a lot of state enterprises. He is cutting a lot of regulations. He is doing all sorts of things. The problem for him is that the special interests, including the unions that have run this country for all that time, are just going to be fighting him and making it very hard for him to do what he needs to do.
The ministries and his governance, I think he's eliminating them. What is he going to replace them with? It's just that they're going to go
nothing.
Away?
Nothing. I think he's trying to return a lot of the power to Argentinians. He is removing regulation about rent controls. He's trying to free the supply of housing. He is trying to free the supply of goods and free trades. He's doing all sorts of things. He's basically taking really a hammer to all the shocking points that he sees in his economy. But the thing that was really kind of really moving in a way about his speech, first, I never heard a politician give such a geeky in a way and also passionate speech like this about making the case for capitalism, making the case for free enterprise, making the case for economic growth, making the case for freedom, and also explaining how our thinking has been polluted by false theory, like the notion of market failure, that is basically are used as a justification for the government to also intervene in every part of our lives. And so it was really kind of quite a remarkable thing he was doing.
He makes a case for capitalism. What's it sound like? Why capitalism? Why now?
So capitalism, he makes the case of capitalism and free enterprise and is what gave us the incredible economic growth that we've seen, the economic growth that's taken out, all of our countries out of poverty into the rich countries that we are today. And he makes the case that we can't take this economic growth for granted, and that the best way to kill it and to turn into our Argentina is to take it for granted and to continue regulating and imposing taxes and telling people how to do their business and to run their business and to live our lives. And he did it in a way where he effectively said, make no mistake, it doesn't matter who is justifying the intervention of government in our lives, whether they're doing it for religious reason, whether they're doing it in the name of populism, whether they're nationalist, whether they're socialist, whether they're communist, the results is the same. Government intervention at a certain level is really going to damage growth, and you will pay for it with poverty and more unrest, social unrest, and all sorts of really terrible things.
Economic growth, then, is the answer to the needs of the population. Veronique, the irony of your column is, I think Milei is condemning not only Argentina, but the government we have. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So he's saying, I am warning you, I'm here to warn you that if you continue down the path by using all these excuses like market failure to justify government intervention, if you continue justify the government intervention in the name of things that are, you know, well-meaning, like the fight against climate, social justice, national security, you're going to go overboard, and you're going to and you're going to basically create poverty, because the government is rarely in the business of improving things. Now, there are things that government should do, obviously, like national security and a bunch of other things. But if you push it too far, if you push the government intervention into our lives far, then that's where you damage. First, you destroy the essence of capitalism, and you damage growth.
I read the transcript. I didn't hear it. World Economic Forum is not what I would say was a friendly audience to this message. Was there applause?
So no. So I watched it, and I heard clapping, and then it was confirmed when I was reading a story in the Wall Street Journal about it that, against all expectation, I mean, he got a significant amount of support. I mean, people were really clapping, and it was particularly moving, because at the end of his speech, he said he ended like with the same slogan that he's used during his campaign. He said, "Long live freedom, damn it!" And it was kind of interesting, because when I heard it, I heard it with a translator, and you can hear the translator pause, because he's thinking, what is he saying? And then went on to give the translation. And I think kind of people were energized by his speech, because it was so unusual.
Veronique de Rougier, the Mercatus Center. I'm John Battle.